Well, I am super privileged to serve with all the other elders, the other young men who are part of our church, who help lead this church. And over the last 8 years, so many things have changed in our church. We've had a number of prominent staff positions that have changed. We've had a school that's closed. And as I look at that, and I look at all the people who are still here after all that and have been through that, we have an opportunity here to become something different. I mean, clearly the Lord wanted something different. I think we can all say that there was something different in mind that he had over those 8 years that we are now to become. And you would think, as elders, we'd all get together. I can remember my first time 8 years ago when I prepared myself to go to that first elder meeting. I was thinking I was going to sit there. There's going to be some light from heaven that was going to open up. And everybody was going to have this wonderful kumbaya moment. And it was just going to be, and it's just not the way that it was. And in fact, as we were starting to talk as elders about what's our church going to do? What are we going to do going forward? We're going to be a slightly different church. We're not going to have a school. We have some different things going on there. And we were not in agreement. I mean, we weren't openly hostile to each other or anything like that, but there was definitely some difference in agreement. What day are we going to do certain things on? What are we going to emphasize? What's our path forward going to be? And it actually, I mean, there wasn't this overall like big tension, like people weren't talking. I'm very blessed. I've served on a lot of different boards, and this board, there are people that say their mind, they speak their piece, and we have it out in usually a pretty godly way. But we had this lunch meeting where we got together, and we all kind of shared, you know, what are we going to get out of this lunch meeting? It was arranged by one of my, you know, fellow elders. And as we went around, it was clearly different. We all had a different thing that we were thinking we were going to get out of that particular meeting. So as we're talking, and it became pretty clear, we're all on different pages, I took a moment and I asked Pastor Matt, I'm like, you know what? If there was one thing you could change about our church, what would it be? And I had certain thoughts in mind that I was sure he was going to answer. And he said, I would like us to be better at evangelism. And I'm not usually taken by surprise. I try to really know who I'm talking to pretty well, and I was taken by surprise. And so I started thinking about that. We started talking a little more about this, like, okay, well, if we're going to do more things with evangelism, is this like we're going to change our Sunday morning service? You know, because that's what most churches do, right? You want to be more seeker-friendly, you want to do more evangelism, we're going to change our Sunday morning service, right? Nope. Said, I want it to be on Wednesday night. Okay, so I'm like, all right, let's think about this. So we started talking about it a little more, and I said, well, why don't we take our Wednesday night and let's brainstorm with everybody, and let's see, first of all, if they agree with you, and second of all, what ideas they can come up with. Because what we usually do on the elder board is we brainstorm, we come up with all this stuff, we go through months of planning and preparation, and we go through this whole process, and then we dump it on you. And we expect you to have gone through all that process, and we forget that you didn't go through that process with us. So this time, we said, we're going to do this a little bit different. So a couple of months ago, we started brainstorming. First of all, we started off with a poll. And we said on Wednesday night, and part of the reason I'm going through this is, we get about 60 to 70 people on a typical Wednesday night of adults. And so I know there's a lot more than that here. So I want to go through a little bit of an overview for those who come. This may be a little bit of an overview, but then I'll get into the message. So first of all, we did a poll and we said, all right, we have three E's. We have kind of a teaching E, we have a fellowship E, and we have an outreach E. Which one of those three E's do you think we're weakest at? And 75% of people said the third E, which is the outreach, which lines up with at least what Pastor Matt was saying he'd like us to be better at. 25%, which actually kind of surprised me, said that fellowship was something that we are the weakest at. So we started with that 75% outreach, 25% fellowship. And then we went on to brainstorming about this. Okay, so we first of all took that 25% and we said, what are we going to do to help with our fellowship? So we spent one night on that. And then we spent the remaining months brainstorming and working in small groups to say, what could we do to be better at evangelism. And the groups of ideas that we came up with, and this is interesting because there's a number of people on our elder board, including Pastor Matt, who are very big planners. They would like to know the whole thing, where we're going. And this was a big leap of faith on a lot of our parts because we almost had to wait each week to see what the brainstorming came up with to know what are we going to do the following Wednesday. So that's a little, and even when you show up, you know, you'd like to have a full bullet list saying, I'm going to be able to cover this hour and a half we're doing, and you're showing up with two bullet points and saying, boy, I hope people talk. And people did. We had great time of brainstorming and pulling together, and we were able to break the ideas up into three major pieces for evangelism. A lot of the ideas came about, we had to prepare ourselves. This includes praying and teaching and that sort of thing. So we've got to prepare ourselves for the evangelism. The next thing was missional. These are items where we're not doing it here at church. We're going out into the community and we're serving other people. And then the third thing was attractional. These are the things where we use the wonderful facility that God's provided for us and we make use of it to bring people in to the church and get them in the door. So with those three things, the last night, and it was kind of interesting too, because we're like, boy, we really hope we can finish this up by the end of the year. And then we didn't even know we weren't going to have two things at the end because the kids ministry wasn't going to have them. But the Lord worked it out perfect. So the last night, the last Wednesday we had, we actually asked for volunteers to sign up to be part of those three groups. Actually, the third group being fellowship, which is that other 25%. So the preparatory piece, the elder board's going to take care of that. We're going to take care of planning out, and I'm going to go into a little bit of detail for you in a couple of minutes on that. The missional side is going to be led by Matt and Trish Strauss, and they're going to be planning activities for us to go out into the community. So we're going to break up into four Wednesdays of each month. There's some months that have five, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But four Wednesdays a month. The first one's going to be preparatory. Okay, that's where we're going to prepare you and do things that prepare you to go out and do evangelism. The second one's going to be missional. This is where we're going to come together as a church on Wednesday night, and we're going to go out into the community. And Trish and Matt are going to have some wonderful things planned for us that we're going to go out and do. The third night's going to be attractional things. So the third Wednesday of every night, we're going to show up and we're going to have some things here that, Lord willing, is going to bring people into our church. Okay? And then the fourth night, because remember there was 25% of people that wanted more fellowship, that is going to be led by Heather and Noble Armstrong, and they're going to come up with some things that are going to be primarily for us here at church to get more fellowship. Okay? And next Sunday, they're going to be doing some short presentation on what some of their ideas and what they're going to go about doing this. That attractional night, myself and Brad Wade are going to be kind of facilitating that and coming up with some ideas for that. So we've developed these missionary teams, and let me read you a set of verses here from Matthew 25, 14 through 29, which is going to be kind of my theme as I go through the sermon here. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earn five more. The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received two bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And you know what? As I look out throughout the church, I see we all have different DNA. We all have had a certain code implanted to us at our birth with God-given abilities and tendencies and traits. You were given a certain set of parents that raised you a certain way, that gave you a certain set of expectations and certain set of beliefs and other things as you were growing up, a certain way that you grew up. You've been planted, at least right now, at Webster Bible Church in Webster, New York, for a specific purpose. You were all given different things based on your abilities. And you know what I take from this set of passages? The Lord expects a return. You know, we could complain. We could say, oh, I was the guy given one, or I was the guy given two. Look at the other guy, he got five. And we could even say at the end, hey, wait a minute, you took from the guy who had the one and you gave it to the 10? And the Lord expects a return. He expects you to take your talents, your God-given ability, your tendencies, your background, and he expects a return on that. And what is that return? That return is you need to do something with those talents. He wants more and better disciples. So what I'm going to be talking to you about today is how, as a church, with what everybody who had said who was part of our church, the 75%, and then in the 25% as well, how we're going to go about doing our evangelism at Webster Bible Church. And I did some searching. It is slightly unique. I mean, we do have a way of coming up with our own unique things, but this is interesting. And I bounced it off some elders at other churches, and I could actually see their wheels turning a little bit like, that sounds like a really good idea. So we're going to go through that here a little bit. We're going to give you scripture on this, but I want you to look at this. Some of you might have, when you're hearing some of these four E's, you might be like, oh yeah, that's me. Well, good. Then get involved in that particular night. If you're like, you know what, I love going out and doing the missional thing. Great. Get involved in that night. In fact, I will go as far as to say, if you are a church member, we actually do expect you to come on all four of those Wednesdays. But maybe there's one that you can get a little bit more involved with based on your talents, whether you got five or two or one, based on your talents, which one can you get plugged into so that when the Lord eventually sees you after your time's done here on earth, he can look at you and say some of these words to you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. And then he says, let's celebrate together. And I can tell you, that's something I want to hear when I go up to heaven. So let's talk about how we're going to do this as our church. First of all, let's talk a little bit about the realities of what we're going to encounter as we go out there. So as we go to our first graph that I'm going to show you. This is based on 2014 data. It's a number of different polls that were put together and how people answered on their census and stuff like that. But it basically tells you that what I would consider, what we would consider Christians, Protestant Christians, in the U.S., 47% of people strongly identify that that's what they are. Okay? Another 21%, depending on how you feel, if Catholics are Christians or not or whatever, they're 21% of people who identify that. The actual next largest group after Protestant is the unaffiliated. Now, you might be thinking, those are the atheists, right? No, that's not the atheists. Atheists are about 2% affiliated atheists in the majority of these unaffiliated, and I'm actually going to break this down on the next slide, are actually people who just don't know. They're just mark the box, I don't know. I'm unaffiliated, okay? So this is the agnostic, atheists, and the I don't know crowd. 3% are other, and I put this in words, Christian, because that's what the poll called it. I wouldn't necessarily view them as Christians, but these would be the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, the people who have some form of Christ in their thing, but they don't agree with a lot of our major tenets, so I would not feel that they are Christians. So 3% would be that. Now, all the other religions of the world, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, would fall into 6%. Okay, so that's what you're going to hit when you go out there. So to break it down even more, we'll go to the next slide. Within that 53% that are not Protestant, this is how they fall down. 40% of those, as you saw in the previous slide, 40% of the, we'll call them non-Protestants just to be safe, are Catholic. Okay? 30% are nothing. They really don't know. They haven't decided. They're not affiliated. Whatever. 6% of those are atheists. 8% agnostic. 3% Mormon. 2% Jehovah Witness. 4% Jewish. 2% Muslim. 1% Buddhist. 1% Hindu. And even though there was a category of nothing, there's still another 3%. So when you walk out onto the street in the United States, and interestingly enough, other than Vermont and California, most of the states hold true to this as well. Vermont has an awful lot of atheists, surprisingly. Don't know why, not a sermon, maybe another time. So this is what you might be like when you're hitting people, when you go out there and you start talking to them, whether you're doing the missional, the attraction, or whatever, this is what you're going to run into. Now, why do I say this? Well, there are some people, and I have nothing wrong with this, who say, you know what? I just preach the gospel. This is what I do. You know what? God's word's never going to return void. Praise the Lord for you. My style has always been to find out where the people are at, because you know what? If I knew the person was Jewish or Mormon or Catholic or nothing, I have a different way to approach them and talk to them. Okay? So this is, and I think we have biblical basis for this. I think when you look at the way Paul approached ministry, especially as he went to Athens and preached to the Greeks, he didn't even talk about it. He's just like, hey, you know this unknown God thing you got here? So he met them where they were at. So that's an important part of what we're doing. So you kind of have to see that. Now, if we go to the last slide that I have, this one actually makes me excited. Because at least there's some basis. Of all those people who were interviewed or who filled out this poll, 91% said they believe in some form of a God. This is in the United States. This would not be in Asia. Okay? We'll come to my first preparatory thing and we'll see how this differs in other countries. But in the U.S., 91% believe in some sort of God. And only 9% do not. And we know a bunch of those are the atheists and some of the agnostics. And agnosticism just means you can't know for sure. You just believe you can't know. Okay, it's kind of a cop-out in some way. All right, so 91% say believe in God, 9%. So we can be pretty sure that when you're talking to somebody and you're witnessing to them, most likely, 91 times out of 100, they're going to be somebody who actually believes that there's some spiritual power, some God behind this. It's at least some sort of starting point. So we want to meet people where they're at. So let's talk a little bit about our four things that we're going to be doing. First of all, preparatory. I'm going to read you 1 Peter 3:14-17. This is my set of life verses, so I like preaching on this one. But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Now you might be saying, well, Irv, I just don't have all the answers. And I don't either. Nobody does. I'm going to try to give you a couple of things. First of all, the one thing I want you to practice, if you're going to participate, and I pray that you will, in going out and witnessing to other people or being part of our evangelism, I want you to practice your testimony. Now, you might be like, I know my testimony. It's no problem. Practice it once. You might be surprised how much you stumble through it. And there's nothing worse than that first time that somebody asks you, well, so why are you Christian? you know, and you kind of bumble through it a little bit. Practice that. That is something, no matter what you say, nobody can argue with that, because that's your personal testimony. That's why you came to Christ. So you can say that with all fear, without any fear, okay? Because you have that personal testimony. So I want you to practice that. The next thing, if somebody said, all right, I got that down, what is the next thing I should have to be prepared? And that's what we're going to focus on for 2017 in our preparatory. We're going to go through, if you think about it, once a month is what each one of these teams are going to have to do, right? So whether you're preparatory, missional, attractional, or fellowship, once a month. If we take 2 months off for the summer, you have to come up with 10 things. So we thought as an elder team, all right, we have a 10 things of preparatory. What are we going to do? And what's going to be the biggest thing to prepare people out there? And the thing that I pushed for was the top 10 questions that non-believers ask believers. Because if you're going to learn something after your personal testimony, which I would much rather have you learn that first, is what are the top 10 questions that unbelievers are going to ask you, and what are some answers you could give them? So that's what we're going to do on our preparatory night. Okay, and just to put in a selfish plug, I'm going to be teaching that. I don't know if that attracts you or not, but I will be teaching that on the Wednesday nights. Okay, the way we're going to outline the night, every one of these Wednesday nights is going to be 6:30 to 8. But this particular night, 6:30 to 7 is going to be me teaching. From 7 to 7:30, we're going to have small groups discussing in more depth with questions about that particular topic. And then we're going to make it very easy for people that don't want to stay to leave. If unbelievers come to that, it's not necessarily aimed at unbelievers, but I think it's very friendly to unbelievers. It's meant to prepare us. But if they come and they don't want to be part of the next part, we'll make it very easy for them to leave without shaming them or pointing them out or anything like that. Then there's going to be, from 7:30 to 8, an optional worship and prayer time. So I want you to think, hopefully if you sit here and think for a minute, there's got to be somebody you know who's either in this, who either is a Christian or yourself, and yourself, or is an unbeliever that you might be able to invite. Study after study has shown that people come to outreach activities when they're personally invited. We could put all the ads we want out there, as we may have seen in some other ministries we've tried, and people are less likely to come unless you personally invite them. So your first step after learning your personal testimony, just in case when you invite them, they ask you, why are you a Christian? You got to have that personal testimony. Think of somebody that you can invite. I promise you, I've had a bit of experience with atheists, agnostics, all different likes. We are going to make this preparatory night very friendly. I'm not watering things down, but we're not going to be cramming things down their throat. It's going to be an honest exploration of some of these topics. And I'm going to tell you what these topics are to hopefully whet your appetite a little bit. Number one, aren't all religions praying to the same God? That's actually not the most asked question, but that is the first one that's important to go over. Is everybody even praying to the same God? I mean, what do people say? If you're sincere, we're all sincere, right? So we're all going to heaven. And that's not what any of these religions preach, so we're going to talk about that. Number two, hasn't science proven religion is just fairy tales? Because a lot of people just stop there. Look, it's all fairy tales, it's all fiction, it's just like the Greek gods and things like that. And that allows them to mentally check out. Well, we're going to discuss very honestly what science tells us about the beginnings, and then we'll compare that with worldviews. Number three, what makes you so arrogant to think your religion is more special than the others? So let's say on the first two nights I convinced them they're not all the same and science hasn't eliminated the need for another worldview. Why are we so arrogant to think it's ours? So we're going to talk about that in an honest way. How can you believe in a God when there is so much evil and suffering in the world? That's actually the number one asked question. Anybody ever been asked that one? How can you believe in a God when all this is happening? You know, and I see so many pastors, and even one of my favorites, Chip Ingram, and his answer to that is always, well, we don't know what God's plan is. You know what? I think there's better answers for why there's evil and suffering in the world, and we're going to go over that. We're going to actually go over two or three different ways to approach that one, because it is the most asked question. Number five, how can a loving God send anyone to hell? If your God's loving, why is he making people that he know is going to hell? And we're going to discuss that. Number six, what's up with your God condoning wiping out women and children? This is a favorite of the atheists. If anybody's read The God Delusion from Richard Dawkins, he loves to point on this one. Sam Harris, the end of, you know, My Letters to a Christian Nation, they love to point on this. In fact, they say he's the most vile, disgusting. They use these words. Okay, now that's not the majority of people you're going to run into, but we're going to cover that. What's up with our God condoning wiping out women and children? Number seven, how can you believe in a book that is full of contradictions? Another famous things of atheists. They just say, in fact, I was having an email exchange with somebody the other day, and they're like, there's hundreds of contradictions in the Bible. So we're going to talk about that. There's not hundreds, and there's not any contradictions, but there's certainly a couple of disputed things they like to bring up, and we're going to talk about those. What about all the people who don't hear about Christ? That's a hard one too, right? Chances are, there are some people born in another land somewhere else that missionaries are not going to reach. So you're telling me that you're loving God, that they're never going to hear it, and they're going to hell? We're going to talk about that. What? Wow, it's really quiet in here. I hope that's because you're just all excited, right? Everybody stayed up late last night. This is why Pastor Matt takes January 1st off, right? Everybody's all tired and anyway, no. Okay. Number nine, why do bad things happen to good people? So we're going to cover why is there evil and suffering, but surely if I'm a good and Christ follower, why would bad things happen to me? And there's examples in the Bible, and there's certainly people they know. You know what? Susie, she was a great Christian. Did you see how awful she died of cancer? Why would your God treat Susie like that? And we're going to talk about that. And number 10, and this one is not... I want you to have this one. I struggled because I only had 10, and I had 15 that we had come up with. And this one, once we get people... To start, okay, I'm interested. I'm going to come to your Sunday morning. And remember, this Wednesday night thing, it's not going to be the, hey, come join us on Sunday morning. It's going to be, come out and try some of these other Wednesday night things. Because that is our evangelism night. That's our night we're doing this. So why don't you come out? Why don't you come out and shirt Nerf guns with us? Why don't you come out and play these games with us? Or why don't you come out and do this? Hey, we're going to go and... We're going to go to some drive-thrus in the area, and we're just going to pay for people behind us. That's our missional night, you know, or some other cool things like that we're going to do. Why don't you come out and join us? We're going to go to some of the local fire stations, and we're going to bring them coffee and donuts and just tell them we love them, and we're really thankful for what they do for us. And have them go, you know, I could be part of that. I could do that. And then they're going to hopefully hang out with us and see, all right, these people are a little different, because you know what? Any of the people that I've had the privilege of being part of their walk to Christ have come to me because either they noticed something different about me or my family. Not because of any great talk that I did or anything like that. They noticed something different. This is your light. We're going to talk about that verse here in a minute. This is your light that you have. And when they see that light, they're attracted to it. There's something different about you. Hopefully people have said that. And when they see that, we want to show them that we don't have three heads. That we're not just believing fairy tales. That you don't have to check your brains when you walk into the door here. This is an intellectually satisfying, most appropriate worldview of what makes sense of everything that we see. And that's what we're going to be able to teach people and show them. So that's our preparatory night. Hopefully... And that's actually going to start this Wednesday. We're going to cover the aren't all religions praying to the same God. And I'm not going to tell them that Christianity is the better one or anything like that. We're just going to go through the top five religions in the world, where they came from, what do they say about how we got here, what do they say about how we should live, and what do they say about when you die. And just cover that. That's all we're going to cover. Just to prove the point that they're not all saying the same thing. So you can't bring them together and just say, you know what? As long as you're sincere, you're going to heaven. None of the worldviews teach that. So that's what we're going to cover. And I hope that you come out and join us on that. So on the missional night, the verse I want to give you, a set of verses, is Acts 20:18-27. You know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault, for I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. And man, I know I'm guilty of this. I would love to be able to say that last thing to anybody that I came into contact with. If any of them suffers eternal death, it's not my fault because I did my part. And I know I didn't. But look at what Paul is saying here about this. We're all wired different. We did. Remember our verse that we had for the today was the Great Commission. We all, there's no way to shrink from this. Now, some of you, you read this missional thing and you're like, yeah, this is me. I can't wait to go out and visit the nursing homes. I can't wait to go out and do this. I can't wait to go out and see these, these cops and these firemen and do acts of kindness and love on people. And some of you may be like, you know, that's not me. But we are all called as part of the Great Commission to be that witness out there, so that I pray that many of you, now if you are that person, I want you to see Matt and Trish. We already have had, I'm amazed at this, I thought maybe we were going to get like 15 people signed up. That last Wednesday, I don't know if they just felt pressure or not, but 40 people signed up to be part of those brainstorming groups that said, I will come back, not just on that night. We had like 65 that night. 40 of those people said, I will continue to be participating in this. I have since emailed all those people, and almost every single one is still a part of it and is actively brainstorming. So we're praying that this is going to be a big thing and that you'll be part of that and come out on Wednesday night for this. And even though it says in here that he says, the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead, I have told Matt and Trish to make sure that jail and suffering are not what is ahead for us on the missional night. But there may be some amount of persecution. That's what keeps a lot of us from saying things, right? We're afraid of what they're going to say back to us, that they're going to look at us weird. They're not going to like us. Now, the missional thing, it has the most logistical challenges, but in a lot of ways, it's the easiest to do the witnessing with, right? Because we're going to them. There's a lot of logistical things. I'm really happy that Trish is involved. She's great with logistics. And so that's, I'm sure, going to be well planned out. But come and be part of that. If you're wired that way, and you know what? Even if you're not wired that way, come and be part of it. Stretch yourself a little bit. So let's go into attractional. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are light of the world. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Now, I personally think, and I'm probably biased because I'm helping to facilitate this one, I think this one's the most challenging one. Not to facilitate, not to plan, that's probably the easiest part, but to get people in the door. People have certain ideas about what Christian things are like, what's going to happen to them when they come here, the people are going to be staring at them, looking at them funny, we're going to be doing weird things, and there's probably some truth to some of that. But we definitely need your help for this attractional one. Okay, and we're going to be giving you some examples. I think we got some really fun stuff. This isn't just your standard stuff that we're going to be doing. We've tried to look for things that really will attract people, even if they're not at all interested, at least in outwardly, in Christianity. Our priority that night is not going to be preaching to them for 20 minutes. We want them to see this light. You, like I said before, you all have different DNA. You all have different experiences. You all have different parents that have raised you. You have your own unique light. And what we want them to do, like I said, when I've witnessed to a number of people, when they see you, we want them to see something different. I've had a couple of people, some of my favorite people that I've helped go through their faith walk came through poker games, as weird as that sounds. They came to our poker nights. We didn't call it gambling for Jesus or anything like that, but it wasn't money involved. But they came to our poker nights and they played the whole night and they're like, wow, you guys like didn't swear. There's no beer involved. There's none. And I still had a blast. And I went home feeling like interesting. You know, in fact, one of them, I'm sure you wouldn't mind calling out Brad Wade. He actually was like, I kind of liked the Christian songs you were singing. They really had a good message. And that's how it started with him. But we had to get him to something so that he could see our light and see if there's something different. So what we're going to be focused on that night is getting them in the front door and then hopefully seeing by the way that we act and respond that there's something different and they want to be a part of it. And our last one, which is that 25%, is the fellowship. Colossians 3, 12 through 17 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. When we start bringing these people in, or when we go out to them, they're going to be watching you. If you've hung your Christian shingle out at work or your place of business, people are watching you. When something happens, they're watching you. When they come and we're shooting each other, we're basically doing an indoor version of paintball, which will be a lot of fun on one of our attractional nights, and we're shooting each other, they're watching. How does he respond? You know, when they lose the game or maybe a call doesn't go their way, how do they respond? When you're doing this sort of thing and all of a sudden they hear, I just found out my wife has cancer. How are you responding to that? They're watching you. So that when they have those things, they're coming and asking you. So with that fellowship, we need to practice those things. If they come in here on a Sunday morning, so let's say we've really attracted them on Wednesday night. They come in here on a Sunday morning, they hear the wonderful word of God from our pastor, and they're up here, and they're in here, and everybody's just kind of not friendly. They see people arguing or bittering, or they hear, oh, so-and-so's not talking to so-and-so. What are they going to think? Are we all that different? They're like, hey, I can get this out at this other club. Okay, so we're going to do that in our fellowship night. So just to finish this up, there's something for everyone. 4 Wednesdays a month, 10 months of the year, there's 40 opportunities for you to be a part of this. To come out and let your light shine, to use your talents to produce a return for God. Okay, I'm not trying to threaten you or anything like that. I'm trying to encourage you. I want you to come out and participate. You know what? If you aren't going to come out at all and you come out to 5 of the nights, praise the Lord. All right? I'm not silly enough to think that all of a sudden all 300 people who come on a Sunday morning our 60 is going to turn into 300. But if we can get 5 or 6 of you additionally to pull in, or maybe you're like, you know what, I haven't been involved. I want to get plugged in. And you know what? That attractional night sounds a lot of fun to me. So I'm going to go see that person and say, how can I get involved and how can I help? Okay? The story, the illustration I want to leave you with, I know a lot of people know I'm not a football fan, but a lot of people are, so I'm going to use a football analogy. And just to help my analogy, I'm not going to use the Bills because I don't think it'll help my analogy any at all. So we're going to use the New England Patriots because we do have a couple of... Right, who's getting spiritual now, right? So maybe you won't be after I'm done with the illustration, so hold it. So I'm not a football fan at all. And actually, when I was a football fan, I was a Raiders fan. Nothing. Okay. So you could put on a New England Patriots uniform. You can watch them every Sunday. In fact, sometimes when they're playing here or somewhere local, you might even go watch them. And you're the biggest fan. You're excited. And you might see somebody else. And you could look at them and say, you know what? I'm a New England Patriot. And they're going to look at you funny like, what? I mean, you put on the uniform. You watched them on Sunday. But my friend, you're no New England Patriot. They would talk to those New England Patriots and they would say, you know what? We show up year round. We show up for practice. We study the playbook. We learn how to do things. We do blood, sweat, and tears. We have fellowship with each other. We pound each other into the ground. We work really hard. That, my friend, makes you a New England Patriot. And obviously, you probably can think where I'm going with this. Now, thankfully, to be a Christian, you don't have to do all those things. But if we go back to those first set of verses that I have, where he says, I gave you 5 talents. I gave you 2. I gave you 1. What's your return you gave on me? Yeah, but I put on the uniform. I came and watched on Sunday. I cheered for him. Boy, I cheered for him. Yeah, but you didn't give me any return. So what I'm asking you for is to come out, see what it's all about. Give it a try. Come out and be part of our Wednesday night. Be part of that team. Get God a return on his investment. So I'm going to pray for us now as the musicians come up. Lord, we thank you so much for the talents that you have given us. As we do our own personal assessments and our own personal inventory, we may be like, you know what? I really feel like the guy that got 1 talent. But Lord, I'm going to give you a return on that 1 talent. You know what? I'm really good at fixing things. You know what? So I'm going to find a way to use my mission, to go out on the mission night and do that. Or you know what, Lord? Some of these things they're talking about, those don't seem so scary. I'm going to come out and be part of this. I'm not just going to come on Sunday and just put on the uniform and act like a Christian. I'm going to give you some amount of return on this. Because, Lord, when I go into heaven, I want you to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together. And, Lord, may we all desire that as we go in our Christian witness and evangelism with what everybody here at church all agreed with, 75%, and with what has been put on the pastor's heart, who is the leader of our church. Lord, let's go and do that and produce a return for our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.